So co-host Hockey Prospects Radio. Now, can you name the top young up-and-coming video coaches out there?
No, after yesterday, I probably should be able to, but there's a lot of fans that don't even want to hear about it, and I sort of get that, too. It's really become a contentious issue, even from Penguins fans. Like, even Penguins fans were mad that a goal was taken off the board because they sort of want to win fair and square. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was the right call. I just think people just get annoyed by it, and I'm a little annoyed by the rule myself, but it was the right call.
So just before we get, give us the overall, what a weird game it was yesterday. Maybe talk about a very unusual game as you saw it.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. But the funny thing is, you know, when you're witnessing something, you see it go up 3-0. There's a guy next to me and we're talking and he's like, you know, the Penguins never blow leads. And I'm like, listen, this is the Stanley Cup. Weird things can happen. You know, momentum shifts, just a mistake here, or, you know, and things did start to shift. All of a sudden, for a period and a half, Nashville completely dominated the game. They got back in it. It's just the highs and the lows. The crowd was crazy. Then they were quiet. And then, you know, it really was something that we've really never seen before. And, of course, now people always want to know the stat. Hey, what's the odds of a team winning the Stanley Cup when they score the first goal? What's the odds of a team winning the Stanley Cup when they get the first goal taken away? Like, that's a new stat category.
Yeah, do you have the numbers there yet?
Or no.
How many times?
We don't know yet.
It's only happened a couple times.
Yeah.
What's going on at the – tell me a little bit about this combine.
Well, a combine, to me, is a place where a guy could really make some hay if you could prove yourself to be, like, a great athlete. Like, it, you know, and Simmer, I know you don't know anything about this, but follow me. But, like, if you're on the VO2 bike, mm-hmm. that's something where, you know what, if you go on there, it's not about if a guy throws up or not. It's about the endurance, right? And all of a sudden, if you see some player has crazy endurance, oh, you know, you're going to make a mental note. I remember Mackenzie Blackwood, who got drafted by the Devils, racked the long jump. And we all thought of him as a good goalie, but we didn't realize he was this sort of physical specimen, too. And it's probably that makes him one of those guys that earlier this year he made, like, 58 saves in the game. And, you know, he doesn't fatigue. And so you could find things out like that in the combine. Guys are very competitive, so when they go out in those groups, they're all trying to outperform each other. So there are a few things you can glean. I mean, the teams are really there for the interviews too, right? They want to know what makes a guy tick. But you can glean some things as well.
I couldn't follow you there. Could you go through that one more time? Hey, actually, you could be really good, have really good endurance and throw up, right? I mean, it is possible to have both. You could be offside and onside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have they come to it that who was the guy from Boston College years ago, but did the NFL combine specialist and his stock just rose and he trained specifically for it? You remember that? A guy to BC.
That's it.
And after that, so now they had to put some checks and balances to see if a guy's a little bit more well-rounded. I don't know if you can quite do that in hockey, but I am curious if that's crept into it at all.
I don't think so. I think it's harder to do in hockey, although it's what's funny is when you see some of these guys not doing some things not with skates, they're not as great on land. You know, like some guys aren't fast runners, but they're fast skaters. And so some of the guys do joke about that. I remember Sam Bennett couldn't do more than a few pull-ups, but nobody thought that was going to affect his career or his standing, and it hasn't. He's a terrific player. But I don't think you could really – everybody trains for it. All these players train for it, but I don't think you could really just fool everybody with it.
Did you say it was Mike Marula?
Mike Mamula.
Oh, Mamula. Did he end up playing some games in the National Hockey League, didn't he?
National NFL.
Oh, who's the guy who's the kid from with a similar name from BC that played in the – oh, shoot, now you got me started down a brain path here.
You know, you're going to go down the rabbit hole, don't do it.
I'm going to go down the rabbit hole trying to think of the similar name that played in the NHL that came out of BC. Damn it. Now you've got me going here. All right, sorry.
Who are some of the – well, who are the Mike Mamula types that when you look back that hockey-wise – you look and you say, you know what? I think the combine had contributed a significant bump for particular players.
I think even Austin Matthews impressed everybody. I think when you look at a young guy, even though he may be a big guy, you want to see if there's some strength there, and he had considerable strength. I think that it's also a humbling experience for some of these guys because they go the day before and they practice, right? And then the next day they go and then they do it for real, and then they have to talk to everybody about it. Like, we've all had bad workouts, right? If you go to the gym, Gord, and let's just say you have a horrible day on the treadmill, maybe you even trip and fall on the treadmill. You know, maybe one person in the gym sees it. Maybe they only tell 10 people. But, you know, you have like 100 people at the combine, and we're all talking to you right after.
Sorry.
A really tough experience.
What is a gym? What is this thing you speak of?
A gym.
No,
who's
there.
Jim?
I'm there sometimes. Don't worry.
Okay.
Not right now.
I got to think. My goal is by the end of the show is to think of Mike.
There you go.
Hey, you know something? We got a couple of interesting things about the New Jersey getting the first overall pick. Jim Nill on our show and other places, but one talking about a little bit out there, asserting that we're a little bit in play to receive all calls and proposals and that. Have you seen anything change the last week or two as far as your perception of, say, the top three or the top six, seven, eight?
No, actually, and the interesting thing is, you were a GM, Gord. You know the game. Why would a GM ever want to tell anybody the truth a couple weeks before? But certainly if they feel like they could float a few things out there, a few misdirectors, and maybe get some action going, why not? Because, you know, you never know if you get a team that really bowls you over with a deal. But, you know, I saw online that the Devils were talking to Nolan Patrick. Well, I expect them to.
Yeah, I know.
Just because they say...
Is that a story?
It is only because... Well, I'll tell you why it is.
Okay.
It is only because they said, hey, we really like Tishier. Yeah, that's great. You really like him. That still doesn't mean that's who you're taking. But I think a lot of people ran with that and said, oh, the Devil's going to take Tishier, so Patrick's going to end up with the Flyers. But that's not a guarantee, right? So I don't think any of that's changed. I still think Casey Middlestadt's third. Now, maybe on a few other boards he isn't. This is going to be a draft where a lot of teams do have disparity on the board, and there are going to be guys that are 5, 6, 7, 10 slots different. And so that could create some trades. But the one thing I'm pretty sure of, I don't think Jim Nill will completely trade out for that pick because he is a guy that lives and dies with the draft. And so if he were to trade, maybe he would trade down, but I don't think he would ever trade out of the first round.
Russ Cohen with us. By the way, I found the guy. You know who it is?
Who?
No.
Mike Motto. Won the Hobie Baker
Motto,
in 2000.
Yes.
Boston College defenseman. That's who I was thinking of. Whew.
Played for the Rangers. Yep,
played for the Rangers. Yep. Thank you very much. I interviewed the kid. I remember now. All right. That's all I've got for you at this time, Russ.
Okay.
I will bring up the offside thing one more time and just ask you to review my idea about letting the officials on the ice get together as a foursome and review any egregious calls and then overturn them that way, as opposed to having this 4 or 5 minute delay and then, you know, the...
I think that's fair. I think that's actually a good way to do it. Umpires sort of can do that in baseball if they want to, but they seem reluctant at times. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I do. I actually liked what Gary Bettman said yesterday, where for the coach's challenge, maybe there's going to be a clock now after a goal is scored, and you only get an X amount of time to decide if you're going to make that challenge because a lot of time is being wasted. So I thought that's a good potential thing in play, too. We have to sort of tweak this video system. It's not exactly perfect yet.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't knock them for trying to get it right as well. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's quite
right.
often what happens.
And work in progress.
I like the fact they're talking about it and want to look at improving it. Everybody gets it. Memorial Cup thoughts about you talk about unusual. We had Jeff Merrick on yesterday. Yeah, it really wasn't that compelling. But, you know, good on Windsor. They've had a number of championships in a short period of time. And, you know, some of the best prospects out of there, Russ, might be some of the coaches, actually.
The coaches, but I mean, look like a kid like Jeremy Brocco, who's in your market over in Toronto. He got passed over by so many teams. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I saw a post by a family member of his on Twitter where it says all he does is win, and it's true. And so that's what fuels some of these guys. You know, Sean Day, terrific story, right? I mean, I don't like the exceptional status tag for players. I don't like it. I think for the most part, it puts too much pressure on them. So then a lot of times when fans see that and they see that that guy's not a lottery pick, it's like, oh, he's a failure. He's an instant failure. Well, he's not. Actually, he just needed better nutrition and better training, and he was terrific. And so I think you really get some good stories, and Gabe Vilardi definitely helped his stock. Like, there's no question he really showed a different side of his game where maybe a little slicker passer than we thought, maybe a little bit more of a force physically than we thought.
Well, I look forward to having better training, better nutrition by the time we talk next time. So, hey, thanks as always. Rush, you got a lot of balls in the air right now. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, boys.